An ordinance amending chapter 27 to the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by text amendment to clean up certain language, reinstate certain provisions, and amend certain requirements.
All right.
Hello, Howard.
Yes, before you, you have an ordinance amendment. The city zoning ordinance was passed December 18, 2009. Since that time, staff has had the opportunity to test drive it, and we have found little tweaks that need to be made, things that weren't necessarily caught during those the flurry of activity that was the month of December. So what we've gone through and made some upgrades, I'll say, in changing some of the classifications of staff titles and positions, some of the nomenclature in there that still refers to DeKalb County, should be changed to the City of Dunwoody. We find probably about two or three of these items a week that need to be changed, and we put those all together in a reasonably thick document for you that should have been in your packets. Recently, we have found a couple of items that are significant and need to be added back into the document with all due haste. First of those items was the verbiage related to RA5, the zoning district. RA5 is a residential zoning district. Somehow, it didn't make the transition from the county to the city's ordinance, and yet we have districts in our city limits which are zoned RA5. So we need to have those land use protections and control in place for the entire city.
Okay, so what is RA5? RA5, what is that zoning?
Single family
residential.
Yeah,
it's very different.
At 5 units per acre. Additionally, we were made aware just this afternoon that R50 and R190 are also zoning districts in the city limits of Dunwoody, which are not referenced in Chapter 27. Mm-hmm. So we would like to follow the same model, take the text from the DeKalb County ordinance, which was the source of all of our zoning districts, and incorporate them into the City of Dunwoody ordinance with appropriate changes for DeKalb County references to be changed to City of Dunwoody references.
Okay. So do we have those happy for us today?
I don't. I did not have the opportunity to even put them together. I found out a little bit after 4 o'clock today that was actually the case.
And does that mean we can't vote on them? Oh, this is a first reading. Never mind. We can't vote anyway.
Just to let you know that is what is going to come back to you as an amendment. This item went to Community Council. The Community Council was very receptive to the idea of changing all references to DeKalb County or County to City of Dunwoody or City as appropriate, as well as the minor tweaks and typos of some of the capitalization and whatnot. But we also sought to add a policy change that made an applicant's attendance a board or commission meeting compulsory, rather than there's actually no mention of it necessarily their day about whether or not as an application goes through Community Council on the Planning Commission and finally before this board, that the applicant themselves be personally present while the item is being discussed. So that recommendation for approval with those two conditions move forward to the Planning Commission at their regular May meeting, and the Planning Commission again move to approve the amendment as presented with a series of changes. Recommendations. They too sought that DeKalb County and County be changed to City. They were also made aware that RA5 was missing from the document, and they asked us that we reinstate the RA5 text as it's written in the DeKalb County ordinance. All the red lines that were consistent with the document that you have in front of you, the guide be made, be finished and put back into the finished document. And then when it got to the point of discussion about the text in there that made applicants' attendance compulsory, they chose to recommend that Board of Zoning Appeal applicants and Planning Commission applicants and City Council applicants be present at their hearing, but not Community Council applicants. They didn't find Community Council the presence compulsory that should be made mandatory. Staff obviously likes the changes that modernize the document and make it appropriate for what we have here in the city. We don't necessarily want to see any change made about whether or not an applicant be present at the meeting or not, because it's a policy change, and that was not the intent of this amendment. This was simply just to change typos and tags and text, and not to make policy changes. So.
Okay, any questions for Howard? Yes, John?
Howard, you hit on the fact of the policy change aspect, and that you didn't want to change something because of the community council. I attended my first community council meeting and noticed there was differences from the Planning Commission and the Board of Zoning Appeals in the sense of public notice and the sense of the signs that were going up. I believe that the community council needs to be treated fairly when it comes to public notice, when it comes to notice to the neighbors, when it comes to signs in the front lawn, and that a full packet of information be made available on the city website. Right now, the community council is meeting with nobody in attendance. I don't think they feel like they're being utilized properly because it was a tack-on. And I think we need to review the public notice aspect of the community council for possible changes.
Okay, there's two issues in your comments there. There's the public noticing, and then there's the packet issue. The public notice that city staff puts forward in the newspaper of general circulation, as well as on the site, is a state law requirement for public hearing, capital P, capital H. The public hearing, which is required of changes to zoning, special land uses, text amendments. The idea that we don't advertise on a site or in the newspaper for community council meetings is because there is no public hearing. There is no state-mandated public hearing. It is a public meeting. It is open to the public, but public meeting would be lowercase p, lowercase n. The state minimum requirement is that we advertise for the public hearing, and that's what we adhere to. If there's a policy change that needs to be investigated, we will certainly undertake that investigation and find out the feasibility of making those changes. The second issue somewhat ties to the first in that timing. The timing of the deadline for application to start the process to go through community council, followed by the planning commission, and then two readings at this board. The time frame between when the deadline is, a preliminary review for completeness and compliance, followed by notification to the applicant that they are complete and compliant and they can go forward through the process. We're not always able to make the deadlines for the newspaper. We're not always able to put a full staff report together, a full investigation as far as how the application relates to zoning ordinance, how it may relate to development regulations, subdivision regulations, and the comprehensive plan. The point of the community council really is not to review that information at all. The community council was actually developed as an opportunity for a more informal discourse between the community, the applicant, and the board who would facilitate the meeting. We don't necessarily, thus far, we haven't sought to make the community council another planning commission or another city council.
But you're looking for dialogue in an informal manner in which the community is not there. They're not aware of the circumstances of what's happening around them, and I'm trying to find a way to...
I agree completely. And we've addressed that to a certain extent. One of the ways that we seek to advertise better is our website. We have gotten a lot more controls over our website as the development of our processes comes along. We were not able to do everything all at once as soon as we started. Incrementally, we've been able to put policies and procedures in place, and one of them is a better utilization of our website to get the word out. I don't know necessarily if we'll be able to advertise specific items at a community council meeting in the newspaper because of the advanced deadline in relation to when we know that an item will go forward, but we could conceivably put notice out that reads, there will be a community council meeting. Items there will be discussed which may affect you.
And what about signs on the property stating that it would be in front of the community council?
If the If the item relates to real estate, well, that we could put some signage out.
I just wanted to broach something.
The idea is when we create a standard for ourselves, if for whatever reason we're not able to meet that standard, individuals could be slighted. They could feel that we're trying to do something under the radar or not in the sunshine, which may very well not be the case. It might be the case that there's some item which is so preliminary at the time, we might not have the opportunity to get that notice out. We always try our best, and we've done a pretty good job up to this point, I believe. But you're right, the community council meetings are a little under-attended. I'd like to see them more attended with the community.
That's all I'm asking. Thank you very much.
I just think, I think John's very comfortable. I realize that, you know, we can be everybody in the city to please come out to these meetings, but I think the more, no matter how we do it, the more we do it, you know, on the website, on John's blog, or where we put all this stuff, you know, the more we get it out there. And I think the first real hot issue we have going in front of the community council, you'll probably find out that we're passing the heck of a lot quicker than the issues that aren't, you know, the quote-unquote hot-button issues for the city.
Okay, any other questions for our guest, Robert?
I guess the main question I've got is whether or not we're going to keep the policy change pieces in here for the second the vote or not. And if we are, then we need to talk about, do we want applicants or their representatives to be required in attendance? At which things do we want them to be required? If we're going to take that stuff out, then we can make that part of a future round. But I guess that's sort of my question.
That's completely up to you whether or not you want to put that in there or not. But just to let you know, we always, in part with the applicant when they come in, this is the meeting. They get a letter, they get phone calls, they get emails, and at the time of their application, we tell them when the meeting will be. And we implore their attendance. Whether or not they show up or not is a personal and sometimes a business decision on the part of the applicant. It's up to them. We do the best we can to get them to be there. Now, the other item is there was no mention made of the penalty for non-attendance. It could be some people said that you defer the item at that board for one cycle. Some others mentioned that you defer the entire item for a full cycle. So if somebody makes it all the way to the mayor and council but then doesn't come to the mayor and council meeting, it goes all the way back to advertisements and goes to the community council. That could be one penalty. I think the obvious penalty is a person may not respect or like the application if somebody doesn't have the diligence to follow through with the application through to fruition. So
I guess what I would suggest is that we take the policy piece out and let's talk about that at one of our work sessions, how we want this to work. Is that a reasonable thing? And just vote, and just get the RA 5, the 190, the, you know, the technical stuff, and get that done next week or next meeting, and that we do the policy changes on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've got no objection to that. That's considering we don't have a not ready for prime time. There's what ifs.
Right.
If we went for it anyway, I think we're going to need to squeeze this out a little bit more amongst a discussion. So I'm okay with that.
No, I think the same thing, because the nuts and bolts need to be in place.
Yeah.
The zoning stuff needs to be in place. We don't have time for that.
Okay. Any other questions for Howard? All right, thank you. All right, with no objections, I'm going to open up public comments. Do you have anything, Jennifer?
Could I have one thing for our staff presentation? I just wanted to briefly go back upon the notice and procedure. All of the details that Howard gave of how we process things is dictated by the code. So should we change the code, we change what we do.
Right.
If the council finds that you would like some signs placed in the ground, we can propose a text amendment that will go through this process to put those signs out earlier. Should you find that you would like a legal notice put in the ad, and we call it a public hearing, the state requirements are, a minimum requirement. We can't go less, but we can go more. So the long story short is, should you find that you would like more advertising within this process, we can put together a code amendment that will then alter the way we do things. We're not dictating how the code works, we're simply responding to it.
All right, thank you. All right, with no objections, I'm going to open public comments. Anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this, please make their way to the podium. All right, anybody that wishes to speak against, please make
yes,
their
way to the podium. Yes, sir. Yes, to my amendment, Councilor Life. Don't think that...
Please state your...
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Jim Maloney. I've been a resident of Belmonte for 29 years. I don't think that the citizen should be required to come to the meeting. If I hire an attorney to represent me, that's exactly what he's doing. He's representing me. I don't have to be there. I might be out of town. I might be away on business. I might be ill. Or I might just not want to go tonight. And I don't think that I should be required to come.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Anybody else wish to speak again?
Yeah. I'm Paige Olson, and I'm a member of the Community Council. I'm not here to speak on behalf of the Community Council, but as a just a community member. My opinion would be that if the policy is going to be made for the applicant to be present at 4 out of the 5 stages, that it be that they have to be at all of them, and not just separate out the community council, or not have to be present at any of the functions. But don't just leave the community council out of the mix. Thank you.
Thank you, Paige. Does anybody else wish to speak on this? All right, with no objections, I'm going to close public comment. And with no objections, I'm going to close the public hearing on this. And Brian, can I get a little clarification on something? While we're at a stop here, I think Robert brings up a good point, but since we're just going through some of these initial ones, like on a first read, and we've got staff's opinion, then we have a wrap-up of community council, then we have a wrap-up of what the planning commission voted on, what is the time for us, since it's a first read, it's not a work session, it's not, when's the time for us to really... discuss amending what's down. Would it be second read when we vote?
The second read is when you actually should. We would have to warn the entire council that if you discuss something at this time before you do it, you could be conceived of prejudging it at this point and opening yourself up for that attack. So, you know, during the first read, you do want to minimize your comments and not make any policy decisions and not really comment on it, but just take in everyone's comments. And then at a later time, at the second read, actually discuss it after you've had the inputs, and then go forward. It'd be the safest route to take.
Okay. Well, it seems a little odd to me, and I guess all of them aren't going to be like this when you really have a pendulum of thoughts and opinions from these different groups, and then all of a sudden we have a first read. We really aren't supposed to discuss it. Then we're supposed to discuss it at second read and vote on it.
You don't want to prejudge it before you've actually had the public hearing and public input. So.
I think we
are allowed to discuss it the first week, but what you're saying is maybe make judgment or something, because I think we are allowed to put our comments out on the first read.
Well, you can't make comments. I'm just saying you can't prejudge, because that opens you up to an attack.
I may have a different opinion than the attorney since we haven't discussed it, but. Typically, you're going to have two types of issues come before you. The type that you've had tonight is really a policy-based discussion on what your zoning code should and shouldn't say, or what should be in there and how it should be said. That, to me, is just very similar to what how you discuss your ordinances, and that there's very little risk on the prejudge, because the decisions you're making are general and affect all applicants for anything in the future. I think very much has to be considered is that when you get land use-based decisions that come forward on rezonings, any variance applications that come before this board, that is the most important time for you to let the applicant have their say and have the public input before you prejudge. But the attorneys may have a different opinion on that.
Bill, would you like to kind of give your opinion?
I don't
split the middle.
The reality is both of them are right.
I think
what you're really talking about is how you set up a process that you run every single time. And when you're setting up process and running every single time for zoning, I think the methodology that Brian's outlined is a good methodology to use. That you need to, on your first reads, you need to listen to what your staff has. Your staff has collected all the information for you. They've collected it from the Planning Commission. They've collected it from the community. They've looked at it from a staff perspective. They're giving you comments of what they think they want, what they think they don't want. And at that point in time, just take the information from the community at that point in time, too. The safest course of conduct is to sit and listen. All the information is there for you. It's all in front of you. You shape up what your issues are going to be. You're gonna go to more thinking about it as you go forward. And at the second time, after you've taken all the information in front of you, and this is just on a general basis, Warren's right on where he's at with the policy. This is policy, but in terms of if you do it the same way every single time, you won't get in trouble. Is to do it the way that you listen, you get your second hearing. At the second hearing, you take all the information in again. The power's probably going to give you a brief overview again for any of the people who were not here the first time, so they'll know what was going on. You're going to get all the data that you can, and then you go in and you do what you do, is the policy. Then after you've heard from everybody and you close the hearing process, you can always call them back and you can get more data. And to decide, do I want to go into this policy piece? He's already presented all the questions. So the public already knows the questions that are there for you. And so they'll be able to frame where they want to say what they want to say. Because he's raised that question. Everybody's on notice about it. You do the issues at the end. Warren's exactly right that it's the times that you're going to sit in the trap is on those specific zonings if you go out before you take all the information in and start making decisions. But from a perspective of building process, I suggest you do it the same way every single time and just do it like that.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Bill. All right, moving on. Sharon?
An ordinance to amend the text of the zoning ordinance. Specifically, Section 3C, the Dunwoody Village Overlay District.
Right.